Music, among other things.
Music among other things.
M-A-O-T, episode 15. Hello, everybody. I hope everybody is doing well. We are back after a bit of a pause with this very chilled episode. There's no guests this week. It's just me, Richard, and Neil shooting the breeze in a celebration of Halloween. So we got into various topics. We talk about Michael Jackson's early version of Thriller called Starlight. Chlorophobia, which is the fear of clowns, which is a mutual fear of Neil's and P. Diddy's. We also talk about rubbish trick-or-treat incentives from the elderly, the Haunted Mansion, the Eddie Murphy film, pirate DVDs, musicians who deal with stage fright, and the return of Bono's McFisto too, so you've got all that to look forward to. As always, links in the description to playlists of the songs that we discuss. Give us a like and subscribe and follow us on MAC Pod. And enjoy, guys. Hope you have a very good Halloween. I was just thinking about fear, actually, Neil. And you know when when we were around yours and your cat Sarge was making a leap from the sofa to the desk behind, and we were all just like, "Are you sure? Are you sure about this?" And then she just flopped it, and we were all just like, "Oh god!"
Yeah, fear's it's a funny thing. I always have my most fearful moments when you're present.
That's true, actually. That you're one of the people I felt really bad about giving a fright to. You know, usually it's quite fun afterwards. When I saw Neil's reaction, it was a bit like, I just shouldn't have done that.
Every time he mentions it, he's like, "Oh, sorry about that again."
Yeah, it was basically just me and Neil at his old flat. I think what were we chatting about?
We were talking about fear, but it was quite a deep, serious conversation about it. It was like midnight. It was just us two. We were on like a 2-seater sofa, so it's quite intimate. And then we were just talking about fears, and I was just getting quite deep, being like, "Yeah, just don't like clowns, like anything to do with, like, scary clowns." And then we were talking about why they scare me and all this. So it was. Yeah, we're getting quite deep into it, and then all of a sudden, Sean just decided to just try and get me almost mid kind of breath. He was like, "You didn't even do much, did you?" It was literally just that.
Yeah,
that's to this day, that's the most scared I've ever been in my life.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, where somebody tries to grab on for air.
I was falling.
Yeah,
it felt like I was falling.
It was a weird moment because when it's just you two in the flat as well, it's like, how do you recover the vibe after that?
Yeah.
Completely destroyed. You actually share a fear with P. Diddy, Neil.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so fear of clowns, what you have is called chlorophobia. And he was scheduled to appear on a US TV show called Fear Factor. I can't even recall what that is. Is it literally what I feel it is? It's like people being scared of their biggest fears.
I don't remember it being like that type of scary. I thought it was more. I can't remember it particularly, but I remember more the eating challenges. It was known for like the eating challenges before anything I'm a Celeb and stuff. They used to eat proper like weird shit, you know, like bollocks.
Yeah,
the rest.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's like, and skydives and stuff like that. So it's more like normal shit. I don't remember it being quite like actual, you know, dark fears. But maybe it was. I just put that out of my mind.
Because apparently the program breached a no clowns clause in his contract. I mean,
that's brilliant.
If you write it into a contract, that means you've got to have some.
That's a serious fear, isn't it? Did you see Michael Jackson's one? It must have been on that same Google search. But bacteria and dogs. What about a good bacteria? No, I feel like he's putting a bit of a stigma on bacteria. Yeah. You know, generalising it there.
That's the one thing that I hate, the stigma against bacteria.
Me too.
You know, there's good bacteria in this world, there's bad bacteria. There's good dogs and bad dogs in this world. Well, actually, you might have a view on that, Rich. Can you change a dog's behaviour?
Every dog is a good dog.
There's good owners and there's bad owners.
Exactly, Neil. Thank you very much. Every dog's good. They just do what works.
Well, there we are.
Yeah,
Is there any
next time on MAOT.
Is there any source on the bacteria in dogs, or do you reckon that's just somebody having a stab in the dark?
But to be fair, you can't get on in this world without good bacteria or dogs. So look what happened to Mark Jackson, everybody.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Didn't end up in the best of places. It's because he did used to wear a mask quite a lot of the time, from what I recall, and he had an umbrella up. So he doesn't like dirt, grime, germs. I mean,
He'd be all right in the old coronavirus, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he'd be bloody loving it right now.
Yeah.
obviously, we're talking about fear because it's spooky season, Halloween.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, well, it's actually probably the worst holiday for social distancing because there's so much that requires contact in Halloween.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Trick-or-treating, apple bobbing.
Oh my God, can you imagine? There's going to be people that do it as well.
Yeah, it's true. Somebody will be...
Sharing like masks and shit. Maybe it's not like with me, a fear of clowns, because it is scary clown faces. I think it's more just scary masks as well, like just any kind of mask. Like, you've probably seen that, like, when if you've seen Luther, there's like a killer in that who wears like a scary mask, and he's like this skinny little kid, but his mask is just terrifying and it gives me nightmares.
So what's scary about it, Neil? Is it the fact that, you know, someone's hiding from their own identity?
Maybe.
Is it the mystery of who's behind the mask?
It could be, yeah. Yeah, it could be. But it just messes me up a bit.
So you're a big fan of Slipknot then?
No, that's the thing. I literally used to stay away from Kerrang on certain hours just because of that. they used to really terrify me.
Did you go trick-or-treating a lot as, you know, because you're quite a jumpy guy?
Yeah, that's what I was saying to Rich earlier. I wasn't the most, you know, biggest fan of Halloween, but I think I went trick-or-treating once as a kid. I literally remember it just with my mate and his mate and the mums. Oh, the mums.
So you just rock up to the door and just go, treat?
But I can't remember the actual kind of night, but I don't remember it being that scary, to be honest with you. It was just... Yeah, I just get scared very easily, so I wouldn't go to like a fright night.
Yeah, they were pretty bad as well. I was quite scared of those.
I just get paid to get scared. I get, you know, when people love horror films and those kind of films, like, because they love the sensation of being scared. I get angry. I actually get angry. Like, why have I paid money to? It's my own fucking fault. Like, I've just. I'm begging for it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not big on horror films and all of that jazz. I mean, Rich, did you say you went to like a Fright Night? Is that the Fort Park version?
Fort Park,
of Fright Night?
Yeah. Before I even got there, I was already expecting to be scared. Do you know what I mean? But now I look back at it, like, I see videos of it, and you just think, well, that's just a person that's been paid to run at you with a chainsaw in his hand.
What a job.
I was thinking, like, what would he do if you literally just stood there, just deadpan, just thinking you're literally just a bloke, just stood there and come up to you and just deadpan and see what he does. Would he keep going?
What length
would he go to, to make his £8.40 an hour?
But you're right, I wonder where I guess it leads to other acting jobs, but...
Well, that's the other thing I thought, like, who are these people? Because some of them are actually all right at it. That, you know, they're quite convincing. Are these just, you know, failed actors just with nothing else to do?
Just failed murderers.
I know.
Yeah. I love scaring people.
Oh,
my nan's a bit deaf. She's always been a bit deaf, so it's been really easy with her growing up. You could literally just be behind her for like half an hour and she wouldn't know you were there. Savage. I never felt bad about it either. And she'd nearly have a heart attack every time.
Jesus.
That sounds like a psychopathic streak.
I know. But I still do it now. Like, I've moved back home now, and like with my sister, I do stuff like in the garden when it's dark. She has to go out and feed the rabbits, and I just hide in a corner and just suddenly like turn my phone torch on my face or something, and it's like running at her.
We never thought that this podcast would be used by police in 9 years when they're looking into the reasons why Rich became who he is. Early signs of psychopathic behaviour.
Yeah, so proud of it as well.
I never felt bad, actually, even though she was nearly had a heart attack.
Not an ounce of guilt. Did you trick-or-treat, Sean? I don't remember going with you.
I used to trick or treat. Yeah, I mean, we were probably a bit older in high school, weren't we? The only thing I recall, the only story I remember about trick or treating was this guy was like, "Oh, a couple of pears then, eh?" And me and my sister were knocked. We're like, "Oh, brilliant! Like a pair of sweets." And then he brought out two pears, like proper, like fruit. And then we, you know, that disappointment, but you got to like grin and bear it. And like, oh yeah, cheers.
That's straight in the trash. Kind of similar to what I had when I was a kid. We put masks on, and my nan lives in the house, like kind of behind our house. So we just put masks on, go around there. She wouldn't know it was us, and we could tell she didn't know it was us. We were like, "Trick or treat," and she goes, "Oh, hello, hang on." She goes back in, comes out with mushrooms in one of those like thin plastic bags you get from the supermarket, and they're clearly going off a bit. She's just offloading them to the kids. She goes, "There you go, thanks, bye." Oh, shuts the door.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Did you pull her up on it? Like, why the mushrooms?
No, I don't think we did, and I don't know why.
My dad used to get his like coppers out. It's so embarrassing. I remember people trick or treat, and he used to read the back door's right by where he keeps his like hangs his suit jacket up, and he'd be like, "Yeah, why a sec," and he would just reach into his suit pocket and just take out loads of 5p's and 2p's and just fuck. Oh, I used to hate it because it was such a like a ancestral town I used to live in. I was like, "Dad, I got to see these people."
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. I guess when you get older, you know what you value. What you valued as a kid isn't, you know, equated when you get older. I guess as it's Halloween, I think we do a bit of a twist on recently added and discuss or bring forward either a song that scares you or a horror film soundtrack that creeps you out or a sound that creeps you out. Neil, have you got anything?
About the horror film soundtracks, I don't really watch horror films, as I was saying to Rich earlier, but if you've seen a new Joker, I do find the new the soundtrack in there from, I think it's Hilda Guadatur. I don't know how to pronounce her name.
Yeah.
But it's so kind of eerie. It's amazing, like the kind of the score, but it's very eerie. And that kind of creeps me out a bit, actually, from the last couple of years I've seen a film. In terms of songs that scare me, there's an Eminem song, and it's quite a frequent song that scares people, apparently. It's called Kim. I don't know if you've...
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
It fucks me up so much. I remember last year of uni, my mate Mitchum was like a massive Eminem fan, and he put that song on, and it just really did something to me. Like, I think I had a few bad dreams from it, and it was just so graphic, really? And detailed, because you can... Yeah. He talks about, like, murdering her and stuff, but you can hear the... like a sound effect of like the body being dragged in the forest. It's so messed up, really messed up, to the point where every time I play that album, I'm literally like constantly looking at the track list to make sure I skip it.
Yeah. Wow.
Straight.
That's quite impressive of his writing to have the ability to do that to someone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
within,
what, 6 minutes or something. But I have listened to that before, yeah, and it is a proper creepy one. I think did he get in trouble for that one, or is that something else he got in trouble for?
I think it was controversial. Yeah, it was. I don't know if it made it to the last, to the actual final album version or what, but I do. Again, Mitch was telling me that it was very controversial.
It's under the genre of horrorcore.
Really?
Which I haven't really heard of too much. But
yeah, it just really messes me. It really, it's so graphic when we, yeah.
What about you, Rich?
I'm kind of in the same boat as Neil. I didn't really like grow up watching horror films or anything. So I find it quite hard to like think of a horror film soundtrack, but something that used to scare me as a kid was also sticking to the theme park sort of thing we were talking about earlier. Disneyland Paris. We went round the, I don't know what the ride was called, but you're going around and there's all these dolls of small children surrounding.
It's a small world.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It is freaky.
Really?
Yeah.
Paired with the kids' faces, it's like, it's a small world after. It's just freaking me out. That, and the big one when I was a kid, was on Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the first one, with Gene Wilder, when they do the Oompa Loompas.
Really? Oh, really? What, that scared you?
That is the freakiest thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's weird because I guess the intention behind that wasn't to scare, you know, like the Small World After All one, or even in the Gene Wilder one. But it's, it just is scary though. It's because there's something scary about a kid's choir, do you know what I mean? Or kids singing in unison.
Yeah. Especially when they look so, like, so not real, do you know what I mean? I guess it's kind of like that mask thing you were talking about earlier. You're not quite sure how to feel about it, especially as a kid. And then even now, when I watch like the Oompa Loompas on that Charlie and Chocolate Factory, it just gets me every time.
I guess like with the kids' choir thing, it sort of boils down to the fact that usually, obviously, kids don't have the ability to articulate the certain thing that the song's trying to convey. So it's almost like it's always going to be a puppeteer, you know, putting that lyric or melody into their heads and they have to reproduce it. And then if you got the puppet on top of that, that makes it even worse or even more real. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's freaky.
Have you ever been close to like leaving a cinema out of like being scared or?
No, I'm pretty good at just closing my eyes and pretending it's not happening.
Mm.
How about you?
I said, well, embarrassing because I was there with like my best friend at the time, my mum. Great. I was really young. And it's, you know, the Haunted Mansion with Eddie Murphy.
Yeah,
the old guy in that film fucked me up so much. Like, it's so, I'm sure if I watched it now, it's one of those that is so engraved on mine, I'll probably still find it scary. but I'm never going to give myself that chance to find out. But yeah, I remember just like Rich said, I had my eyes closed for about like the last hour of that film. It was because obviously my best friend's there and I don't want to like look like a pussy and stuff, but my mum was like holding my hand because she was to my left like the whole time. I was absolutely petrified.
That's a pretty extreme reaction. I remember that having that on like a pirate copy DVD. My dad used to bring home those really crappy pirate copies every now and then. And do you remember there always used to be a guy with like a big jacket in a pub or something, and he'd have like Pirates of the Caribbean and Dead Man's Chest in his pocket. And they always used to try and replicate the DVD case, but print it off in a really crappy graphic. Those were good times.
Pixelated picture, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember like other than clowns, I think my fear, it's probably all due to do with my brother actually, why I'm so scared of things. He's about 8 or 9 years older, and I've always had this fear, this quite unique niche fear of water in video games. Because he used to basically play Tomb Raider, and I used to like watch him, and he used to basically jump in like a lake in Tomb Raider or a water area, and there'll be like crocodiles coming towards you, and like you can see them coming towards you and surrounding you, and he would just turn off the lights, leave the room, put the controller into my arms and be like, Neil, what are you going to do? And then just lock the door and watch me through the glass. Like, that is fucked up. That messed me up so much. And so I've never been able to go in, like, even on Super Mario 64, I'd struggle with, like, the water levels.
You know, it's quite interesting thinking about, like, fears and stuff that happens when you're a kid, and that kind of sticks with you.
It really does, yeah.
Because especially like after studying behaviour in dogs, and obviously I deal with a lot of like fearful dogs, it's so similar, yeah. And a lot of those situations are when the dog's been put into a situation it's never experienced before, or it's slightly nervous about, and it's just like just thrown into it, and they just got to deal with it. And it's exactly the same with kids. It's like clowns. I can imagine why a lot of people are scared of clowns, because when they're a kid, you're like picked up and put onto the clown's lap as a kid, aren't you, for a picture? And you're so scared, but you're just thrown into it. And you don't know what else to do, and you just freak out.
Yeah, it's I wonder if it is. Yeah, if fear is associated with, I don't know, I haven't looked into facts, like if it's really associated with memories. Like if you do get dementia, like does that mean, and you forget certain memories, do you get unscared of things? Like would I literally have a tarantula on my face while tonguing a clown? I don't know, but we'll see.
There'll be a retirement home in 2066. Well, maybe a bit later than that.
Yeah,
that's a good point though. I think with clowns as well, they're quite a serious profession, as in the people who do it are very serious about their craft. I think John C. Reilly is a clown, or
really?
He went to clown college, and Sacha Baron Cohen as well. So there is a really serious thing, and I think it was probably from It and the Stephen King franchise that it started getting a bit, you know, the scary side of it came out, and there was a few movies with them in.
Yeah,
but as far as I know, like the clown community are like a bit pissed off of it, because obviously they they've lost out on work.
those two people though that you said, those are so clowns, aren't they? Like you can really see it, like
especially John C. Reilly.
Yeah, so he can be like a scary clown. Yeah,
100%. One of the songs that really creep me out, or you know, makes me jump, is actually a Villagers song.
Really?
Because me and Neil, we are proud owners of the 10th anniversary Becoming a Jackal edition record store there. But that first song, I Saw the Dead, there's basically, it cuts out at a point where you don't expect it to, and it always makes me jump.
Oh,
so it's
really?
Like he's mid-sentence. He's like, something we missed, and it just goes... It's like a mic has fallen over or something.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but you find that scary.
Is there like a loud noise, or does it just stop?
Just stops.
It stops, and there's a loud noise. It's like the mic falls over or something. But it's, for some reason, it always catches me off guard, and I hadn't heard it for a while. But when I was listening to the vinyl, I was like, oh my fucking lord.
Oh, God, are you bitch.
I thought this dude was chill.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But yeah. Funny. It's it's weird what that sort of jump or fright can do to you. I was looking into different things around Halloween and songs, and obviously Thriller is a big Halloween song.
Huge.
And I was looking into the origins of it, and it was originally called Starlight. So it's like this was at the demo phases. It's written by Rod Temperson. And it's I sent it around to you guys. It's a weird one, because it's exactly the same musical backing, or you know, the sketches of it are exactly the same, but there's something about the delivery and the absence of all the creaking and weird.
As you said that, yeah, that was perfect.
Not to mention the lyrics.
Yeah, the lyrics are just trash, aren't they?
Yeah, it completely changes any sort of emotion coming out of that song.
What did you think of it?
Starlight. I just thought it sounded a lot more cheesy, like it would be in Back to the Future or something.
Yeah,
nah, mate, it would have gone absolutely nowhere. Michael Jackson just would not be a thing right now. I mean, he isn't a thing right
now. Yeah,
but you know,
he's really taken a pummeling this pod.
Sorry, Mike.
Yeah, it's weird, because it's I mean, the lyrics are what it's because we saying starlight sun, it's like some weird sci-fi angle, but
surely they're just placeholder lyrics. I wonder how they actually got the idea of Thriller.
Yeah,
well, I was looking into this, and it was a guy called Rod Temperton who wrote it. He is this white guy from England, you know, I've seen him in interviews, just like, you know, just sound like somebody up the road. But he wrote Rock With You, Thriller, Baby Be Mine, like a load of like the big funky hits. And I think once I heard a... No, he like wrote the actual song as well. Oh, he's in a band called Heatwave or something. But I've even heard his demo of Rock With You. And it's so funny because he's literally just sort of talking the words. Like the words are all there, but he hasn't got a great voice or anything. But obviously when he goes to old Mickey, it flew. But apparently he just like, he was trying to come up with the sort of theme for the record. I think they wanted that song that they had to be the, you know, the main one on the record. And apparently the word Thriller just came to him, and then he wrote it in like a matter of 20 minutes or something in a cab ride or something. It's pretty crazy how that sort of came together. But yeah, because I guess on the track itself, it's got like a load of like wolf howls, creaking doors, and you've obviously got Vincent Price at the end of it too. I actually remember, Neil, we were together once and we were playing the vinyl of Thriller, and somebody said a joke and we all started laughing. And you know the bit at the end of the track where Vincent Price is going, ah, it joined in at the same time. So as soon as our laughter died out, it was like Vincent like was going.
Yeah.
We're just like, what the fuck? But yeah, proper strange. But I quite like the idea, right, of there being like a black mirror where there's like an alternate reality that just goes back to Michael Jackson's decision to call it Thriller over Starlight. So it's like the alternate reality, what would it be if it was Starlight? And there was another working title called Midnight Man, which just doesn't, you know.
What do you reckon would have happened? It's kind of like, you know, if I stepped on that snail the other day, would my whole life be different right now? Like, what would Michael Jackson be doing now if he released Starlight?
Was that one of his earlier hits? I don't really know loads.
I mean, Thriller was this like peak of his career, but he'd already had like hits to get to that point. Yeah. But that was the peak.
Yeah. But my God, if he released that Starlight song like that, Jesus.
Thriller's just like, even like, I'm not like the biggest Michael Jackson fan, and yet I can. It's just everyone knows the video, don't they? Like, it's probably the most famous video of all time, like music video. It's one of those, so everyone knows it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I had a sort of a theory about the record, and you know, do you know what song comes before Thriller on the record?
Not a clue.
The Girl Is Mine, which is the weird wrestle between Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson. And my question is, right, is Thriller the chapter that follows? Because, you know, at the end of it seems like Michael Jackson wins the girl, right? And then it goes into Thriller, and then, you know, in the video, you know, you see the girl being creeped out and that. And I was wondering, if McCartney won, you know, where would it go to next? There's all these like different things leading back to it. Would it be Silly Love Songs, McCartney? I don't know. But I don't know, maybe it defined the next step. Maybe there's something here, guys. Come on.
I just can't see it, Sean. Sorry. There's just nothing here.
Guys? Well, you can ask Paul when we have him on the podcast.
Oh, man. Yeah. Do you know what? I did actually message his PR. You just got to try it, you know what I mean? He was like, he did get back to me, fair. And
we know you're
like,
listening, Paul, so why don't you just come on?
He got back, did you say?
Yeah, no, his PR did, and they were just like, oh, we don't have loads of time with Paul, but so we have to pass this one.
We don't do
but
shit. What?
We don't do this shit podcast stuff, mate.
Savage.
He did his first comeback interview, because he's got a new album coming out, which is quite interesting hearing, actually, because it's McCartney 3 after he did two albums, in one in 70 and one in 80, which is all recorded at home. So it's almost like he was like the first guy to do these home recording sort of deals. And,
the king of lo-fi.
The king of lo-fi. Well, you're quite a big fan of McCartney too, aren't you? As in McCartney 2.
Mate, I think there was one song that I enjoyed.
It's one of the early episodes where you say that you genuinely say that you're not the biggest fan, but then it was there was like two songs from an album you found that you liked.
Yeah.
So Sean, I don't know where you're getting this information from, but you are inevitably wrong.
Yeah, he's just trying to show me up, isn't he? No, McCartney too. There was a strange song on there that you mentioned before that was really, really weird.
There's loads of weird stuff in there. Yeah, it's like it's just like he just didn't give a shit. He was just playing around with stuff, which I don't know. I quite like hearing.
So does that mean that this new one is going to be him not giving a shit?
Yeah, well, he's recorded it in lockdown, so it's all produced and recorded by him, written by him.
I just reckon it's going to be really cringe, don't you?
He has a tendency to step to that mark. I mean, have you heard a song called Fuck You?
Oh, is that on that McCartney 2?
No, it's one he released maybe 2 years ago. But it's become a bit of an anthem for me and Neil.
Yeah, really. It really has, yeah.
Why? How does it go? Go on, Neil.
It's like, I just want to fuck you.
Maybe I have heard it. Yeah.
So basically, you know, he's playing on this. It's spelled F-U-H, right? In interviews, he says, oh, yeah, the chorus is, I want it for you. But the way he says it is, I want to fuck you. So right. He's almost like this. There's like this double thing where you're just like, did you just say I want to fuck you?
He's cheeky,
I don't know.
It
is.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's genius. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, yeah. He has a tendency to get away with things like that somehow.
It's like really that creepy old geezer down the bar, isn't it? In the pub. Do you know what I mean? He gets away with anything. Like, oh, that's the right. That's how he's doing it every day. Doing this.
Just random woman walking past. I just want to fat you. No, I said fat. I said it's full for you.
I said it to you. I said fat.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely fuck you. I mean, even literally the line is I just want to fuck you. Or is he arguing it's I just want it for you?
That's what he's arguing.
What is it like?
Yeah,
Paul,
it's
come on.
He's
always been the naughty boy, hasn't he?
Dirty boy.
I was looking, obviously, the late Eddie Van Halen also contributed to Thriller on Beat It, so he did that wild solo in the middle of that one. He actually, we're going to go on to talk about stage fright, but apparently he had really bad stage fright for most of his career.
I can imagine.
And it's
that.
It's almost like, I mean, kudos to the people who do it because they're there night after night, and, you know, it might just be part of some people's days that they're like vomiting or extremely nauseous before they go on stage. I remember hearing about, I think it was Jimmy Carr, and it was only a couple of years ago. He had like a big slot on Saturday Night Live to have 5 minutes of stand up, and he was like dry heaving backstage. And then he goes out and he just says his thing comes over him and he's fine. And it's so weird that because, you know, most of the people that we see probably day to day, you know, up on stage, you feel like, oh yeah, they got it all together. But more likely than not, I mean, they haven't in a certain way. Or you still have the same fears as everybody else.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing. You wonder,
have you ever had it?
Oh, me? Yeah. It's kind of like, I always go, like, people I've played music with before would know, like, probably about an hour before we start going on, I start getting really tired. Which apparently John Lennon used to get really tired before he went on.
Really?
Yeah, so,
really?
You know.
little link there.
Yeah, but I'll get really tired. And then,
we'll get Paul to fact check there.
Yeah. Then this, like, crippling self-doubt will come over me. And then you get nervous. Wow. And then you start thinking about the other people. And then, like, all these things just, like, spiral out of control in your head. And then suddenly you're, like, standing on the stage. And it's kind of, yeah, it's like something comes over you. There's like, you can't get away from it, and you just do your best, sort of thing. I've had a few times where I've like just freaked out and kind of given up or whatever, just because I'm just freaking out of my mind. But then you do it, and even if it's a good gig and you really enjoy it, you come off stage, and then self doubt would come over me again. So it's like, why would I then go and do another gig? Why would I go back and do that?
Wow,
it's interesting. Like, where's the reinforcement
sandwich
there? Why would I? Yeah, self-doubt sandwich, did you say? Yeah. I love it. That's the name of my next album.
You could actually imagine that being a McCartney song title, yeah, though, can't you?
Nah, he ain't got any self-doubt. He's full of himself, isn't he?
Oh, he probably loves it, I think.
That would actually be probably the best thing and worst thing to happen to us right now, though. If in the next 6 months he releases a song with that title, we know that he's fucking listening to our podcast.
Yeah, this is a test.
And he just denies it.
We could definitely take him to court.
Nothing to do with M-A-O-T.
Yeah, I can't really remember. Well, I often have anxiety before, you know, if you've got to do like a presentation or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, one of my first memories actually is I was about 4 or something, and I had to stand up and say the word reservoir. And I had like a painting of a, you know, reservoir. And I just remember being really nervous in the build up because like the kids, it was going along in a row. It's like, so and so did it, then so and so, then you. I just remember feeling that coming and then just building up to it and exploding like a firework. Just going, reservoir! And it was weird because I feel like my mum maybe picked up on the fact I was nervous. And then the next time she saw me, somehow I got roped into doing like this dance routine dressed as a bug to a thing called the Ugly Bug Ball, which is in some weird Disney movie. So she was like, yeah, he's really coming out of his bloody shell. But yeah, have you ever had stage fright, Neil?
I'm one of those where like I get really nervous before presenting, because the only time I would get anything like that is presenting. I get really nervous before like presentations and like clients or anything like that. But then as soon as I'm doing it, like I'm absolutely fine. And it's just, and then people will be like, oh, you actually you did really well. And I was like, I was actually shitting it the whole time. And I can, in my head, almost feel my voice trembling sometime, but apparently I'm not doing it. But it's one of those, it's that self-doubt thing. Like you think you are like, you know, you're performing really bad, whereas you're actually not. And I guess if you did record one of your gigs, Rich, you probably find that you are performing bad and that you're actually fine.
Nah, there's been some horror stories. I never get it right as well. You just, every time I think I perceive it completely different to how it comes off. Yeah, so, do you ever get like stage fright just like having an interaction with somebody? Like,
right,
I sometimes
now.
Get stage fright. Yeah, if you've got to go and ask someone something in like a train station or something.
Yeah, I sort of know what you mean. Yeah,
it's like a mini stage fright. It's like you're walking up to the person because you're like, you don't know what time the train's coming. And I'm like rehearsing what I'm going to say in like the 3 seconds as I'm walking up. And I'm like, cool, I know what I'm going to say. And it all comes out in the wrong order. And I'm just like, no, train, half past.
I get it sometimes ordering like an Indian takeaway, but... Yeah, I know what you mean. Like I sometimes rehearse it. I'm like, okay, right, say this. Like, okay, fine. Ready.
Yeah.
And then I ring up.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be that. I thought there was going to be more to that.
Yeah, I'm waiting for an ending.
Pretty quickly.
No.
I think we'd be remiss if we didn't bring up Bono McPhisto on the fly. Our favourite alter egos. Obviously, McPhisto and the Fly are alter egos of Bono. That was in the Zoo TV tour. We spoke about quite a lot on episode 6, I think it was. But what I didn't realise, because obviously we're looking at a load of old footage from the 80s and 90s, but Bono actually resurrected McPhisto, which is a drag devil. For this bizarre like AIDS song. Well, it's a song in support of the AIDS charity Day Red, which is on the 1st of December. But I've sent the video around to you guys. It's a bizarre old appearance from Bono, because I feel like most people wouldn't know who McPhisto is. So they're probably... McPhisto sort of appears in this bathtub with champagne, which splits and he, you know, goes around, basically. But most people would be like, is that Bono? Mm. You know what I mean? You could tell the audience were like a bit confused.
But, it's only when he starts properly singing, isn't it? When you're like, oh. Like, I genuinely would be a bit like, who is this kind of weird character? It's only when he starts kind of raising his voice and he's got that normal kind of Bono sound. A bit weird.
It's a weird one to bring out a charity charity gig. I don't know.
I didn't find it funny at all.
No.
Yeah. You're like, was that the intention?
I don't know. I don't know if it was Bono's intention. It was obviously the intention of the rest of them, but...
But was it McFisto's intention?
Fucking McFisto. He gets too much credit on this fucking podcast.
I don't know why we bother giving him the limelight.
We need to literally stop it.
I don't like you two. I don't like Nobbo. I don't like The Edge. I don't like McFisto.
What about The Fly?
He's a twat as well.
Well, I think that would be a good phrase to end on. The classic negative Sturgis.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, happy ween, everybody.
Yeah.
Hope you have a socially distanced safe one. And peace out. See you for the next one.
Bye.